Morning, church.
Morning.
So good to be with you on this Pentecost Sunday. We've had the Word of God read to us. We've looked at Ezekiel 37. And the message today's got three parts. So if I tell you them now, even if you drop off, you'll know what I was talking about, won't you? Okay. So we're going to look at how God uses the preaching of His Word. We're going to look at how God uses the prayer of a servant. And we're going to look at how God uses the power of His Holy Spirit. So those 14 verses in Ezekiel is what we're going to be looking at. And just unpacking how the Word of God is so relevant for us right here, right now. I was just thinking to myself, there was a point in the service when we were asked beautifully if we have any news. Did I tell you last time I'm going to be a granddad?
No!
I'm going to be a granddad! Yay! Which I'm really excited about. This is absolutely fantastic. And my daughter-in-law went and had a scan on Friday. And her 20-week scan, and then they rang us up in the afternoon to tell us that we're going to have a grandson, which is absolutely wonderful. Which we're really excited about. We're really excited about because that means then that we know that we can get blue stuff. You know, we don't have to worry about pink, or go for neutral. But I do remember a time when I was travelling back to the church that I used to work at. And I was going along the coast road, and I thought I'm going to pull into the Tesco's at Chichester and get myself a meal deal. So I pulled into the Tesco's and grabbed myself a sandwich and my bag of crisps and a drink. And I'm stood at the till, but I'm behind a lady who has a variety of newborn baby clothes, and it was, you know, all sort of light white pinky colour, and I just had to, I thought, oh, I'm going to start a conversation here, and I just had to say to her, I said, oh, you've got a newborn in the family, and she said, yes, she was born this morning, and I thought, oh, fantastic. And she said, yes. She said, the only thing about it was, though, that when they had the scan, they were told they were going to have a boy. So everything had been bought for a boy, and I think it must have been a grandmother, so who was there, who was getting a load of girl stuff. So at this moment in time, we believe that we are having a grandson, but that may be the moment. Who knows? What I love about Pentecost is it's about new, it's about birth, it's about life, and it's about the whole understanding that when God calls His people together as part of His church, it's to be powerful and dynamic. And any church that isn't powerful and dynamic is, in a way, going against everything, I believe, that God has created His church to be. You see, God's people are called together to be filled with Himself. And therefore, because we are filled with the very presence of God, we would step out and represent God in the world around us. Amen. Here we are in Cove, and in Cove, we are Cove Baptist Church here gathered this morning. And we come together, and I love this time, because when we come together, and I love this as a sort of a charging time. This is when we plug in. Has anybody got an electric car? Nobody here. I do find it quite interesting, the whole concept of plugging your car in. And then you think, oh, can only go so far before I plug it. And what was really another interesting thing is that we've just invested in a battery lawnmower. So we've gone cordless. So we now have a battery lawnmower. What we have to now do, though, is we have to mow our lawn in different sections on the basis that the battery runs out. I didn't realise that if you let your grass grow a bit too long, it puts more strain on the electric motor, which uses up more power in the back. So now we've got to a point we've realised that we need to mow the lawn every other day so it doesn't get too long and be too much for the power of our battery. But charging up, getting together, spending time in the presence of God, bringing our worship so that we would walk out from this place as a powerful people, making a difference in the community where God has placed us. Amen. This beautiful word from Ezekiel, I love this because what it does is it helps us to understand the journey that his desire for us to travel together. So it starts off, doesn't it? The hand of the Lord was on me. This is the prophet speaking. You need to remember today, God's people here, the hand of the Lord is upon you. Just for a moment, just recognize the hand of the Lord is on you. And I love this idea because there's a hand of reassurance. There's a hand of comfort. There's a hand of encouragement. There's a hand of power. The truth of the word is that the hand of the Lord is upon you. Now, sometimes you might turn around and might say, do you know what, I don't feel. But then that brings us back to that moment, doesn't it, of coming before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to feel the touch of your hand upon my life. And sometimes when we say something like that to the Lord, it's amazing how he starts to bring to mind his blessings, his provision, his care and protection. And then we realise, you know what, I didn't feel the touch, but I can see the fruit of the touch over my life. You see, we gather here this morning and we're blessed. We are so blessed. Roofs over our heads, clothes on our bodies, food in our fridges. We are blessed. So the hand of the Lord is upon you. His hand is on you. And some people would turn around and say, well, I don't know, I'm not worthy of the hand of the Lord upon me. But this is the point where we have to realise that when Christ died upon the cross for us, he made us worthy. It's not about what we do, what we say. It's about whose we are. I'm a mess up. I fall short. But I come back to our gracious, faithful Heavenly Father. And I ask again, Lord, will you restore me? May I know that your hand is upon me. Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, as we sit here, I'm stood. Know God's hand is on you. He says, you're worthy of my touch, my reassurance, my empowering, my encouragement, my comfort. This is what I am doing for you. The hand of the Lord was on me. This is what the prophet said. And he brought me out by the Spirit. And there's another thing there. Just understanding. This is how those who have God's hand upon them can start to sense how God sees the world. And recognize as well how God wants to use you and me to change the world. It talks here, doesn't it, about this, that as he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, as he brought me out, God is leading us. God is revealing to us circumstances and situations that he desires that we would step into and bring about transformation. Again, sometimes it's just being still in God's presence and just asking him, Lord, would you reveal to me? Will you show me? Would you lead me? Would you guide me? And the best way to do that, I always find, is when I'm going through the Word of God, when I'm reading the Scriptures, and I say, Lord, I need to hear your voice today. And he speaks. He brings to our attention those things that we would normally just skip over. And something that we've read a million times before suddenly has life and passion and is transformative. So he brings him out in the Spirit and he gets to see something. What does he get to see? What a funny thing to see, isn't it? You know, he set me in the middle of a valley. Okay, that's relevant. I could unpack that. And it was full of bones. Bones. Now, you see, in my family, I am the only one who has bony chicken from KFC. Everybody else in my family likes bones. So they like the bone to be taken out of the meat and the meat to be formed into either a nugget or a chicken select or a boneless bite of some sort. My wife doesn't like bones. I love bones. There's something about the nitty gritty. I like to work at my meat. It's just one of those strange things. And here we have, the thing about it is, you don't keep them. I don't have a pile of bones in my back garden from all my KFCs. Or the legs of lamb that we've had in the past, or the joints of pork. You discard them and they are no good for anything. And the Lord takes the prophet into a valley of dry bones. And this is the thing, isn't it? It's a great many bones on the floor of the valley. And it says here that they were very dry. They've been there a long time. And as God's people, as we walk around and we go about our daily business, recognize the dryness. When God sets up his people, when he brings them together, when he calls a church, a fellowship together, he brings you into a valley of dry bones. And he gives us a mandate, a call over our lives, that we would be people that transform the very dry and bring about life. Because this is the thing with dry bones, there's no life in it. And the prophet is called to speak to the dry bones. And just as God is saying, Lord, you're God's people. Would you speak into the environment that you find yourselves? Would you bring about refreshing and life? Son of Man, he says, can these bones live? And then the prophet turns around and says, well, you know everything, Lord. And what we can do in our situation, when we look around and say, do you know, is this community that God has brought us to, is this community able to come to Christ? Is this community able to come alive in the Spirit? Are these people who are distant and indifferent able to become alive in Christ? And the truth of the matter is yes. I mean, just think. I mean, if I think about some of the worst people who've come to Jesus, I'm just looking at you all. I put myself in this. Just so diverse, aren't we? Yet God speaks to us and calls us into a relationship with himself. And he says, I love you. I died for you. You were created to have an intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father. that was broken back in the fall, but I've restored it and I've redeemed you and I've called you to be my own. And the truth of the matter is, over the 30-odd years that I've been in ministry, I've met some real characters. But all of them say that they met an amazing Jesus. An amazing Jesus. And the call that is given to us is that we would go into those valleys of dry bones and bring the life that God's people could bring. It starts off with the speaking of the word. He says, you know, go out, speak, say to these bones. And it talks about that the bones would hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath to enter you. I will give you life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you. And this is the thing about it. The promise is that the word brings life. And as we act upon the word and we live the word, it brings life. And what I love here is that the prayer that is spoken, the word of prophecy, is to listen to what God wants to bring into that situation and to speak it out. These words, I don't know if you've ever read these words before from Proverbs 18, that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. So the prophet is spoken to, the Lord says, I want you to speak to this situation that is dead and dry and desolate, and I want you to speak life into it. This is the truth. The tongue has the power of life and death. So speak life. Be careful about negativity. Be careful with regard to criticism. Be careful about using words to put people down or to undermine circumstances and situations. We think that it's just words. You've heard the phrase, haven't you? Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, do you know what? I've been hurt by words. You've been hurt by words. So the words that we are meant to be speaking, as the prophet is called to speak them, to preach them, to proclaim them, are words of encouragement, of affirmation, of life. Here's one of my biggest bugbears. You ready for this? Oh, my bad back. Have you heard people say that?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad back. Oh, my headaches. Oh, I've got a dodgy knee. It's my dodgy knee. Listen to this truth. The enemy is a legalist. The enemy is a legalist. He won't force himself into a situation. He waits for us to invite him into a situation. Speak life. Do you know what? It's not my bad back. It's not my bad back. Because God has created me in his image. God has filled me with his Holy Spirit. God has called me to represent him to the world around me. And therefore, I want the fullness of him in me, over me, through me. And therefore, I'm not going to own. Sometimes I have an ache. Sometimes I have a pain. Sometimes I have a discomfort. I'm wearing glasses, for goodness sake. So there's issues with my eyes. But the thing about it is, I don't talk about my bad eyes. I want to speak about the clarity that I see with. Thank you, Lord, for how you're transforming my eyesight. And some people say, oh, well, that's just words. Well, no, you see, words don't come back to us void. We speak the words, we speak the truth. What does God say? You see, it says in Psalm 103 that he forgives all our sins
and he heals all diseases. So whatever ailment or illness, we hold on to the word of God, and we know, and we've all experienced, you know, I've buried both of my parents in the last 10 years. I know the pain of things not coming out as I would have liked them to come out. But you see, that doesn't stop me holding on to the word of God and saying, Lord, I trust your plan, and your plan is for life, and life in all its fullness. That's what John 10:10 reminds me. So as an encouragement, I just want to encourage you today, on this Pentecost Sunday, to watch what you say and say what God says. When you think about your family, loved ones, or friends or colleagues who are not walking with the Lord, and you think to yourself, you know, well, they're never going to come to Christ. Well, turn it around. In your prayer, turn it around and say, well, thank you, Lord, for the fact that they are loved by you and you are calling them to yourself. And thank you, Lord, that you will put people across their paths and circumstances and situations that will cause them to seek your face. There's a word, isn't there? I'm going to look it up on my phone because it's just come to my head. Romans chapter 4, oh, you know this one, don't you? Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read this to you. As it's written, I have made you a father of many nations. He's our father in the sight of God, in whom we've believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. So what is the were not in your situation? Whatever the were not is, you can turn it around, because the word of God says that our God is one who takes the things that are not and transforms them into the things that are. It's about speaking life. Speaking life. Ezekiel is the prophet. He's told to go and speak to these dry bones. Everything is desolate, everything is dry, hopeless situation. I don't know if you've found yourself in what you think to be a hopeless situation, but if you've ever been, and I've been in hopeless situations. But I don't believe that our Lord sees any situation as hopeless. Hopeful. So, life and death is in our tongues. Let's speak life. Let's not use words of criticism and negativity. Let's find ways of being encouraging and affirming. When it comes to sickness and disease, let's not own it. We have these aches and these pains, but we don't have to own them. And I remember the Word of God says quite clearly that we are to speak to the mountains. To speak to the mountains. So if there is an ache or a pain, or there is a discomfort or disease, speak to it and say, you're to go in Jesus' name. I can remember one of the first times that I ever was involved in an evangelistic outreach event where signs and wonders and the move of God was something that was being fostered and encouraged, and I had to find myself in a different nation for this to be my experience. But whilst I was in, this time I was in Uganda, and suddenly I'm starting to see people who couldn't walk now walking, people who couldn't talk now talking, people who were deaf who were healing, people who had been crippled by arthritis opening hands and moving fingers. And I realized, God, you are a God of your word. God, you are a God of your word. And I wonder why, when I flew back to the UK, I can remember speaking to the evangelist that I traveled with, and I said, why does that happen there but not over here? And he says, it does happen here. God is at work. He's still the same God. But we find sometimes in these other nations, the hunger and the passion and the desire is just greater. And when it's greater, it's more often because they don't have the other resources. So, God, we need you to step in. You see, there's that, again, that statement, isn't there? When God's all you've got, you realise that God's all you need. Ezekiel, he takes the word. He takes the word and he adds to it the prayer, and the response at the end of the day is God at work. Come on, we need to be the people who hold on to God's word. Pray it into being. Take the truth. Start to pray it. Allow our tongues to bring life. And then see. Then see what God is going to do. It says here in Ezekiel 37 verse 10, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, they stood up on their feet, a vast army." This is what the call is, isn't it? The call is that we would share our relationship with Christ, that people will come to know him as their Lord and Saviour, and join us together as an army. A family, yes, but also an army, because we want to see the victory that God has in store as people come to know him as their Lord and their Saviour. The word of God here says, "I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will put my spirit in you and you will live." And this is almost 600 years before that Pentecost reading that we had from the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the disciples were all together in one place, and then there is a sound of a wind. And the Spirit of God, promised by Jesus, the Spirit of God fills these people. And one moment they were hiding away, the next moment they're proclaiming the truth of God's love. And the call for us: take the word. Take the word. Pray it into being. And see what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And in whatever dry bone situation you may find yourself in, know that the Lord is going to raise up those bones. I love the words here when it talks about the bones coming together. He says, "So he prophesied as I commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone." Rattling sound. My prayer is that Cove and this area might resound with the sound of rattling bones. Yeah. As God starts to move in our schools, as God starts to move in our streets, as God starts to move everywhere that you go, because you are those whose God's hand is upon you, are change bringers. So may your ears be very sensitive as you witness to our Saviour, that you can hear the rattling of bones as God starts to transform circumstances and situations for his glory. Chris is going to come up and play for us, and we're going to sit for a moment. And thank you, John Martin, that's brilliant.